I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
All right, welcome. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I appreciate you joining me today. I'm here 9 to 11 every day, offering you a safe space if you're an independent thinker or would like to become one, beholden to no party, no politician. I went to an election integrity meeting last night, very interesting, out here in Flora. And it was really refreshing to listen to this crowd. I actually thought this was going to be a bit of a Trump rally. I'm not a Donald Trump fan, as regular listeners know. I voted for the man, was disappointed. I don't fall in love with politicians. I hold them accountable. And so I was interested to go. I definitely want to know what progress is being made on election integrity and what evidence they have. I'm ready for something to bust wide open, ready to see a stream of whistleblowers testifying in front of Congress, and ready to see people start going to jail. But it didn't turn into a Trump rally. It was a very interesting presentation about things about the election that did not make sense. But what was most interesting about the thing was it was done totally nonpartisan. It was strictly about the fact that the country deserves an honest election system. And there was a lot of talk in that. It was in a church, pretty well attended. I mean, the church was about full. There was a lot of talk and a lot of amens and oh yes coming from the crowd when they said, look, neither one of these two parties represent us. Both of these parties, neither one of them are worthy of our support. And I would imagine that was a largely Republican crowd. Or a formerly Republican crowd. A conservative crowd, I would say, at the very least, out here in Flora, Mississippi, going to hear about election integrity. I would imagine that was a conservative-leading crowd, and they were not on board with the idea that the Republicans were dramatically different than the Democrats. So that's I'll take that as an encouraging sign. We need those from time to time. We're going to talk about some of that today. Typically on Thursdays, we have got Americans for Prosperity coming in, but they are spread out across the state today doing different functions and going out there and trying to raise awareness for free markets and economic liberty here in Mississippi. So they did not have a representative left in town to come by and be on the show with us today, but we'll get them back in here again next week. I do encourage people to get involved with Americans for Prosperity. Come out to some of their events, particularly I'll let you know when they set up another Pints and Policy thing. You can go and they'll buy you a beer, maybe a bite to eat, and you get to listen to what they're up to. It's a great organization. A lot of talk last night about at this election integrity thing when they kind of got to, you know, what people should be doing. And it was a big call to action, but it wasn't necessarily on the election. It was just about getting involved at the local level, that it is time to take over school boards. It's time to run for offices. It was very, I loved it. I really enjoyed the presentation. It was more than I anticipated because it really did try to get people enthusiastic with trying to get involved locally. Americans for Prosperity has got a Mississippi chapter here, and all they do is they go to the legislature and they try to repeal ridiculous regulations and get people better opportunity in Mississippi. They're trying to grow our economy through free market principles, not sitting around. What politicians do is they attract one major manufacturer every 10 years, pat themselves on the back for it, cut a big ribbon, get all the media for it, and then they go back to just allowing Mississippi to stay 50th in everything economic. It does not have to be that way. Small businesses in Mississippi and creating a system with less taxation and less regulation is what would move Mississippi ahead. We love the big manufacturers. It's a fantastic thing to have Nissan and Continental and Viking and these companies here in Mississippi, but we need to do a hell of a lot more here in the state. So anyway, it was good to hear people talking about getting involved in a local level, and Americans for Prosperity is one of those ways you can do it if you actually want to see Mississippi progress, particularly economically. Quotes of the day today, going to get us into some economic news. I'll be honest, I came into the studio this morning. I really had no idea what I was going to do today. It's always a little bit of a panic because I'll spend hours and hours. Sometimes I'll spend 5 to 6 hours. Actually, oftentimes I'll spend 5 to 6 hours getting ready for a single 2-hour show because I do a tremendous amount of research. I don't talk a lot off the cuff here when it comes to statistics or stories. I'll give you my opinion on them, but I do a lot of research. I come in here, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I've got an hour and a half to try to put a show together. What am I going to do? I don't have anything to talk about. It doesn't take long. I'll grab onto one little nugget of a story, and so we're going to start off with some financial stuff here. My quotes of the day today. A true American hero. You hear a lot of people think that Sean Hannity's a patriot. Boy, I don't like that guy. I go after him. It's almost a daily thing now. I apologize. But if you want to talk about a real American patriot, it's Irwin Schiff, who took on the IRS, and they punished him by locking him into a prison cell, and he died chained to a hospital bed in federal prison. But most people don't know his name. His name was Irwin Schiff, but he said, if you want irresponsible politicians to spend less, you must give them less to spend. And we're going to talk about some spending. I've got a jaw-dropping number in just a second for you from some testimony that Rand Paul was involved in. Irwin Schiff says, if you want irresponsible politicians to spend less, you must give them less to spend. And in my opinion, the best way to give them less to spend is to demand that they abolish the IRS and abolish the individual income tax. Make them get by with the same amount of money, the $2 trillion they collect from other sources, just like they did in 2007. The government would work just fine on that if they were forced to do it, and we, the American people, left, right, black, white, male, female, could demand that. We just don't, because we don't think that's possible. It's really sad. And Ronald Reagan said, no government ever voluntarily reduces itself in size. And just a second, hang with me. I'm going to show you the size of this government. I've been quizzing people around the station about a statistic that Rand Paul brings up in this testimony. Everybody's eyes bug out when they hear it. Anyway. Initial jobless claims jumped significantly last week as 419,000 Americans filed for jobless benefits for the first time. This is well above the prior week's 368 and expectations of just 350. There is some good news, though. The total number of claims plunged by over 1.2 million last week, and this was driven by people getting cut off of the state benefits. A lot of the red states have stopped the enhanced unemployment. And turns out, people go back to work when they're not being paid more to sit at home. I mean, I'm no economic genius. I'm a bit of an economics nerd. I do enjoy the topic. But I would imagine most of us could kind of figure that one out. Democrats in particular, but even Republicans, they weren't really sure of exactly what it would be. It was just great pandering in an election year to hand out an extra $300 or $600 a week to the unemployed. Anyway, it turns out when you cut that off, they go back to work. But overall, there remain over 12.5 million Americans on some form of government dole. For context, that compares to less than 2 million pre-pandemic lockdowns. We've gone from 2 million to 12.5 million people. 12 million people on jobless benefits, no problem. Inflation is crushing the middle class right now. Who cares? New rounds of threatened lockdowns and COVID restrictions. Hey, great. We can take it in stride. The stock market says, and it is nearing all-time highs. Again, it's within 1% of new all-time highs in the stock market. I haven't pulled up the market today, but it may be headed up there. Again, now, what's interesting to me is, am I supposed to give Joe Biden credit for the booming stock market since he took office? I was told to give Donald Trump credit for the booming stock market while he was in office, and Trump took credit for it. Joe Biden wants credit for the booming stock market now. Can we be logically consistent if we give Trump credit for a great stock market, but we don't give Joe Biden credit for a great stock market? Barack Obama, after the market bottomed out, I believe, in 2010, He had a booming stock market. Should I give credit to Obama, Trump, and Biden? Or are we just supposed to give credit to Trump and we're supposed to ignore booming stock markets during Obama and Biden? I get confused by how we're supposed to twist the facts. The bottom line is the booming stock market under Barack Obama, Donald Trump, and Joe Biden have nothing to do with economic activity, has nothing to do with whether we have increased the number of people on jobless benefits by 10 million over the course of a year, has nothing to do with the fact we've got rampant inflation, car shortages, chip shortages, supply chain disruptions, and now threatened lockdowns. None of those things matter. The market will continue to go up because the Federal Reserve is still printing money, and that's all that matters. It's all that mattered during Barack Obama's term. It's all that mattered during Donald Trump's term. And it's all that will matter during Joe Biden's term. It also doesn't matter that we have headed towards $30 trillion in debt. This is just for a little comic relief here. An article on The Hill. They are about to do, and I don't cover a lot of political theater here on this show, but I do alert you when it's coming up. I do let you know when you're just seeing a play. See, too many people for too long have thought that these fights between the Republicans and the Democrats, and you get to, it's like watching Hollywood. People know Ben Affleck. They know Christian Slater. That's a callback, isn't it? I guess that shows my age there. I meant to say Christian Bale. He's a little bit newer. People know all the actors in Hollywood. People know all the actors in politics, and they think they're seeing something real. They love to tune into Fox News and see Fox and Friends in the morning take on the Democratic Party. You think that's going to make some kind of a difference if you just vote a little harder next time? So I just like to call out when it's political theater, when it really doesn't matter. That's when I let you know. You want to talk about political theater? Well, this is coming up.
Republicans are digging in on the federal debt limit, warning Democrats that it will be up to them to avoid a default as President Biden pushes for trillions more in spending. GOP senators are taking a firm line as Democrats plot a path for their $3.5 trillion spending measure, which the party plans to pass with budget reconciliation rules that will prevent the GOP from blocking it with a filibuster. Given those plans, GOP senators say they won't lift a finger to help Democrats raise the debt ceiling. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell previewed the GOP tactic to Punchbowl News in remarks confirmed by his office.
So the Republicans, oh, Mitch McConnell, they're taking a firm stance because apparently we've got another debt ceiling looming. Let's see. I'm going to make a prediction here. They raised the debt ceiling. I'm going to make another prediction here. They use the same excuse they always do. Get ready for this. They're going to come out and they're going to go across the board and they're going to say, particularly Republicans, we need to have an adult conversation about the spending and the debt, but America always pays its bills. We must pass this debt ceiling increase. Now, the Republicans may be able to sit this out because the Democrats can do it themselves. And so the Republicans, even though they've raised the debt ceiling every time they're faced with it, this time they will pretend that they were protesting it and that they never would have signed off on it. Even though we've seen them sign off on it time and time and time again. And what they come out and say is, look, we have got to pay our bills. We've got to raise the debt. They do this every single time. It's like campaigning on repealing Obamacare. We've got to pay our bills. America stands up and pays its bills. This is the money that we need. The debt ceiling that we need to raise is because we owe money right now to people that we need to pay, and we pay our bills. And they always pretend that before the next time they butt up against the debt ceiling, that they're going to have an adult conversation about spending and debt. And they never do. And when I come back, I'm going to play. This is an older clip from Rand Paul. As I was struggling to figure out what I was going to do on the show, sometimes I will clip things to a clipboard just to say if I need a segment or something, this is something I need to pay attention to. So I ran across some testimony that Rand Paul had. And I'll tell you what. We have no earthly idea out here how out of control this federal government is. We really don't know. I mean, I think people are starting to catch a clue, particularly when they stripped us of our rights over the past year. But when we talk about the size and scope of the federal government, numbers like $6 trillion national budget, that really just kind of flies over people's heads. We can't even comprehend of numbers this big. As I've said, I'll say it again. 1 trillion seconds, if you were to count to a trillion, 1 second at a time, it would take you, anyone, 32,000 years Yeah, you heard me right. 1 trillion seconds is 31,000 years. That's the best statistic I can say for you to get that wow factor of what $1 trillion is, as the Democrats come out and say, yeah, we're going to spend $3.5 trillion on infrastructure. It's just a number. It's just a word to most people. Most people just look at it and go, oh, yeah, I remember when I was young, we talked about millions. And then as I got to middle age, we started talking about billions. And now the word is just trillions. That's how big a trillion is. A trillion seconds is 32,000 years. But I'm going to show you with this Rand Paul testimony. I got into this clip for just one thing, but I found a couple other juicy little nuggets in this testimony. They're not long clips, but they're pretty jaw-dropping when you start to understand and realize why I sit behind this microphone for 4 years, for 2 hours a day, telling you the Republicans are just lying to you about so many things. I had faith in them. I'm a jilted lover. You know, I'm not angry when somebody else's girlfriend leaves them or cheats on them. I mean, I'm not invested in that. But the Republican Party brought me in, told me they loved me, and I threw my support behind them. I sent them checks, for the love of God, back in the 1990s and early 2000s. I put a Bush bumper sticker. No, it's worse than that. I put a Bush Cheney bumper sticker on my car. To the world, I apologize. But they lied to me. They have no intention of reining in the debt. They have no intention of reining in spending. The only reason they're even making any noise about it now is because they're in the minority and Republicans will give them a pass. I think we're finally getting hip to their game, but wait till you hear this stuff from Rand Paul. It's pretty amazing. Be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
Are you familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs? This is what it takes for a human being kind of to be happy and to be able to exist, really. It's represented in a pyramid, with the base needs being physiological needs, you know, food, housing, things like that. And then it gets into safety. That's the second part of the base. And that's unfortunate it's down there. I mean, we all want safety. Unfortunately, the politicians will appeal to both of these things, right? They'll send you out a check for your physiological needs and then tell you that they're going to take care of your safety needs, and that's about all we need. But this goes on, you know, all the way up. It's safety, love and belonging, esteem, and then self-actualization, that kind of discovering who you are. That's kind of one of the last things you human beings strive for. The reason that I bring it up is that I am seeking here on this show to help you fulfill the second to highest level, which is your esteem level. And with esteem, it's things like a status. But most important for this particular segment that I do regularly, it's your need for recognition. And I want to recognize people. I want to make sure that people understand how appreciated they are, because the elites do not thank us personally for the sacrifices that we do for them. Not so much as a thank you or a pat on the, not even an attaboy. I ran across this story, and so I wanted to pass along another thank you, as I do here. This is a story on Bloomberg. The pandemic has intensified the desire to bubble oneself away from the world and widened the wealth gap further, making Bezos merely the latest business magnate fancying a life at sea. Quote, the market's been roaring, says Sam Tucker, head of super yacht research at Vessels Value Limited in London. He says secondhand sales are red hot and it's impossible to get a slot in a build yard. Even charters, where a person, group, or family rents out a yacht for a trip or through the roof. Quote, our year-on-year business is up over 340% from 2020 up to now. This is from Patrick Curley, the co-founder of brokerage firm Yacht Life Technologies. The company has been fielding so many requests, it started offering membership services that give priority to repeat yacht renters. The super yacht, mega yacht business is booming. And I wanted to just thank the average American out there. Those of you who are paying the higher prices due to the inflation from the money printing. See, this money printing, the people at the trough of this, they get the first dollars out, are the elites. And they're just stacking cash. And by the time it trickles out into the economy, it arrives to us in terms of higher prices that we all pay. And this is economics. A lot of people aren't interested in such a dry topic, but you're sacrificing by paying higher prices. You're the one who has to take out loans to send your kid to college. You're the one that has to finance a car for 8 years. You're the one that's getting 0.25% on your 5-year CD at the bank. You get no return on your savings, but the elites do great in this system. So I wanted to just pass along, in order to satisfy Maslow's hierarchies of needs and boost your esteem and give you the recognition you deserve, I just want to pass along from the elite yacht, super mega yacht builders and buyers, and actually the builders I don't have a problem with. They're just making a business out of it. But to the elites circumnavigating the globe and their new mega yachts, I want to say from them to you a great big thank you for all of your sacrifices that made their new lifestyle possible. I'll be right back with the Rand Paul stuff. Don't go away.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We got high unemployment claims. The Delta variant is ravaging the country. More on that in a little bit. We've got rampant inflation, and it's just a bloodbath in the markets right now. You can imagine, with all that bad news, stock market must be taking it on the chin, right? It's down 0.13%. This has got to be the Matrix. It's just got to be. I can't explain it any other way. So many bizarre things happening. All right, I wanted to get into this stuff I found from this is an older clip. It's not brand new. Rand Paul's done some great things when it comes to Anthony Fauci lately, but Rand Paul had pointed something out a while back about, and this is about the size and scope of our government. I'll read my quotes of the day again. Erwin Schiff, the great American tax protesting hero, said, if you want irresponsible politicians to spend less, you must give them less to spend. And Ronald Reagan said, no government ever voluntarily reduces itself in size. I want you to, let me make sure I got this. Yeah, okay, I'm queued up here. I want you to get a number in your head here. I want you to take a guess. How many buildings, I should have done this before the break to give you a little bit more time. Radio faux pas. How many buildings do you think the Department of Defense has? Now, I'm going to assume the statistic is worldwide. We know the Defense Department, and particularly conservatives and Republicans, know the Defense Department is large because you cheer relentlessly when they talk about adding another $50 billion every time they give an increase to it. So we know we spend $1 trillion on national security, but about $750 billion of that goes directly to the Department of Defense. So fix in your mind, how many buildings do you think the Department of Defense has? I'm going to give you a second because I've already done this quiz to, and I wouldn't have had a number myself. I would be doing the same thing had I not stumbled across this clip. I presented this to some people here at the station, and they kind of, you know, did the looking up in the air, lips moving a little bit, trying to figure out, you know, let's see. So worldwide, the Department of Defense, how many buildings do you think it owns? Well, let me put it a different way. How many buildings do you think the Department of Defense has bought using your tax dollars? Well, this is Eugene Doddard. He's the comptroller of the U.S. Quite a job. I mean, the guy, what does he do at work every day? You know, you just imagine one of these scenarios. He just walks in, whatever's in front of him, he just takes and he just throws it in the air and then starts drinking heavily. But this is Eugene Doddard. He's with he's the comptroller of the United States. But Rand Paul just makes, it's very quick here, so I'm going to translate it because I had to play this about five times to make sure I was hearing it correctly. How many buildings does the Department of Defense own, I am assuming, around the world? Okay, you got your number? Here it is.
Important.
Oh, it's coming, though. It's coming soon, right?
Well, it's coming to a theater near you at some point. Right now, it's still in the trailer status.
So the 603,000 buildings is DOD. So then we talk.
Okay, did you hear that? I queued that up a little early. I don't know how I miscued my thing here. The first part of that clip is nothing. Did you hear the number of buildings? This is your tax dollars at work. And I'm sorry. I was with you back in the 1990s cheering for big defense budgets, but then I grew up. You know, I got wiser when I got older. That's supposed to happen. So it is a bit of a thorn in my paw that conservatives still, to this day, I guarantee you Michael Guest, Roger Wicker, and Cindy Hyde-Smith will come back to Mississippi. They may be at Neshoba County Fair starting this weekend, and they will tell you that they are committing every resource they can find to the Department of Defense for our national security, and the crowd will go crazy. Did you hear the number of buildings the Department of Defense owns? I'm going to play it one more time, and if you can't catch it, because it's almost said like an afterthought by Rand Paul, I'll tell you what the number is.
Still in the trailer status.
So the 603,000 buildings is DOD.
603,000 buildings. 603,000 buildings is what the DOD owns. I listened to that clip five times, and I still couldn't believe it. I thought maybe Rand Paul misspoke, so I looked it up, and it was around 598,000 back in 2018. So it seems about right that they've picked up a few thousand more buildings, you know, during the Trump administration. 603,000 buildings is what the Department of Defense has. This was interesting, too, but at least I'm sure they keep a very stringent, very, very good record-keeping of these. We probably know the values of every year. I'm sure the record-keeping on this is just spectacular, right? This, again, is Eugene Doddard. He is the comptroller of the United States.
You mentioned on this year's report that most of the street addresses, I think about two-thirds of the street addresses in the government-wide data, were unable to be read by computer or they weren't very clear. So you don't know where exactly the property is. And so this is...
Yeah, we don't really know where they are. The 603,000 buildings that the Defense Department has... And now I'm starting to think to myself, air quotes here in the studio, bought. Have you ever seen the movie Fargo? one of my favorite all-time movies. And William H. Macy, who plays the car salesman, I think he's the general manager of a car lot there, gets into some trouble. It's if you haven't seen Fargo, the movie, get it. It's a fantastic movie. Francis McDormand. But William H. Macy's character is stealing money. What he's doing essentially is he's working with GMAC to get financing for cars. So he sends in a bogus car with an illegible VIN number on it. And they would front the dealership, you know. Of course, this movie is 15 years old, so about a third of the price of a new car now. But GMAC would finance the car. They'd send the money to the dealership, and he was embezzling this money. And at one point in the movie, and I won't give it away, it really is a great movie, but GMAC starts calling him and saying, yes, Mr. Lundegaard. It takes place up in South Dakota, so it's very funny. Those accents up there, it's good comedy. Mr. Lundegaard, we can't read these VIN numbers. And he says, okay, I'll, you know, he was making them purposely illegible because he didn't really have the cars. They were made up VIN numbers and he didn't want them to be able to check it. Well, eventually they start looking around. I guess GMAC in this movie, anyway, they actually do an audit of where their stuff goes. And, you know, he gets into big trouble. He doesn't really have the VIN number, so he just keeps trying to put them off and put them off. Maybe that's what the Department of Defense is doing. I don't know what they're doing with the money, but maybe that's what they're doing. We bought a building over here, and then they just put the address down, but it's illegible. It just kind of made, you know, 124 9B Main Street, Topeka. And maybe somebody's just pocketing the money. 603,000 buildings is what the Department of Defense owns. How do you feel about the cheers now for the big defense budgets? And here is the clip that I actually even got onto this for in the first place, because this was the title of the video. This is, again, he's talking to Eugene Dotard, the comptroller of the United States. Rand Paul is talking to him, just kind of perusing what the government spends its money on. And this was another statistic that kind of jumped out at us. It doesn't have to do with the Department of Defense. It just has to do with overall complete mishandling of our money. And I'll ask again, which it's a pretty regular question here on the Mike Madison Show, what exactly are you paying taxes for, do you think? Do you think it's your patriotic duty? You think it's the price of a civilized society? Is that why you pay your taxes? I mean, I know the real answer. You're scared not to, because this government's run by a mafia called the IRS. The IRS looks at your paycheck and says, wow, that's a nice paycheck. I'd sure hate to have anything happen to it. Maybe you give us a quarter of that. Voluntarily, would you do that? No, but they just tell you, well, I mean, you got a pretty nice life there. So you got a wife, a couple of kids, nice house. I'd hate to see anything happen to that little life of yours. Yeah, we'll be taking a quarter from now on. Anyway, Rand Paul was talking about the Social Security rolls. You may have already run across this again. This clip is from back in May, I believe. Listen to what's on our Social Security rolls here in the United States. And this is a theme show I build with this show. I started out laughing at the Republicans who are now going to, air quotes here in the studio, oppose raising the debt ceiling. Because, you know, they're concerned about U.S. spending. Yet Republicans have been in charge back and forth, had 2 years under Donald Trump. Total control! And that's not the only time they've done that. They've controlled Congress many, many times, and Congress has oversight of things like Social Security Trust Fund. I called it the Trust Fund. I'm sorry. That's kind of funny. Kind of misleading. A trust fund presupposes you actually have some money in it. The Social Security Ponzi Scheme. That's what I mean to call it. I try to be as accurate as possible here on my radio show. But anyway, here's the state of the Social Security rolls.
OMB as well.
I think it was a couple years ago, there was a hearing, and Social Security had 6.6 million people listed at over 112 years of age, still active in the role. So, I mean, you know, the numbers and the degree of the problem is astounding.
Social Security is paying out benefits to six. it got stuck in my throat. Did you hear that? They're paying out benefits to 6.6 million people over the age of 112. I mean, I don't know. I have admitted on this air many times, I have a small, robust social circle. I'm not somebody. I'm not a good networker. You know, not everybody's going to know me, but I've got a core group of really good friends that I really enjoy spending time with. Many of them for 40 years. So I don't know a ton of people. I have a small family too. I am right now. My father passed away. I'm an orphan. At 54, I'm now an orphan. And there were just we just didn't have a large family, so I don't have a whole lot of family. But I don't know anybody over 112 years old. I can only assume everybody listening to me must know at least two to three people over 112 years old. If Social Security is paying benefits to 6.6 million people over the age of 112, I mean, you must not be able to swing a dead cat in a retirement home without hitting somebody over 110. We can only assume. What are we paying for, people? What exactly is it that motivates the American people, and particularly conservatives? Conservatives who will say, come and take it, when they talk about your guns, and I share that sentiment with you. I really do. But why do you roll over when they're coming for your income and the wealth that your family should be building over the course of a lifetime? Why do you volunteer to hand over a quarter of your income to a government that is so wildly irresponsible? I mean, they don't even care. It's almost like a bad joke. So the come and take it crowd, I wish you'd expand that just a teeny tiny bit. And maybe next time when you hear Michael Guest tell you how he's going to support the military and make sure that that evil Joe Biden doesn't cut their budgets, maybe you don't cheer. Maybe you start cheering, cut it, cut it, bring the troops home, cut it. And while they're at it, maybe they could, I don't know, peruse the names of the 6.6 million people over 112 that are collecting Social Security. That'd be a nice little start.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
When I was in college, I was a big drinker. That's not a brag or anything. That's just who I was. I liked to party when I was in college. And I know the dangers of some of that stuff. And so with my kids, I'm not naive. I know they may drink some beer. I don't want them doing drugs. I talk to them about this much more than they want to hear. But what I tell them is, I know you'll probably drink at some point. Do not drive. You know, number one, do not drink too much. You will do things that will be very bad for you. And so far, successfully, maybe they're lying to me, but my kids are just not, they are not me in college. It's the beautiful thing to do. I had a ton of fun in college, did a bunch of dumb things, somehow survived it, but then the children that I love and worry about are not like me, so it's perfect. But my main thing with the kids is do not drive. I say this almost every time I hear them talking about going to a party. I've given them my Uber account, you know, tell them to get an Uber, whatever it is. I know, Dad. I mean, I've just drilled it into them. I try to drill it so much that I think, you know, because what happens is when you drink, you lose your common sense, right? You don't think clearly and you just kind of put that out. I want to embed not drinking and driving so deep in my kid's head to where even in the most inebriated state, it pops up and it says, I don't drive when I drink. Here's why I'm bringing this up. If you discovered your child was drinking and driving, I would imagine you would be upset. Most people would. It's very dangerous, and not only for the life of your child, but also for everybody else on the roads. But what if your child said to you, well, I've been doing it for a while and nothing's happened? Would you just say, oh, okay, well, I mean, I guess if nothing's happened so far, just keep drinking and driving. I mean, it looks like, I guess it's going to be fine. That is Americans' approach to spending. How about that for a segue? Huh? Pretty good one? I just came up with this. Americans look at spending, and we talk about it a little bit. We don't demand anything be done about it because nothing's really happened yet. Now, eventually the dollar will collapse, and that's going to be a big happen. And people are going to really regret it, and it'll be one of these things where it's like your child. You just let them drink and drive, drink and drive, drink and drive, and then they have a catastrophic accident, and maybe your child dies. And you just think to yourself, man, if I had just stopped them from drinking and driving, what was I thinking? This is Americans' response to spending. You're so involved with the political theater, and it's so easy to look right now at the Biden administration with their $3.5 trillion plans and think this is a Democrat problem. Now, I know how I could get people upset about the Department of Justice owning 603,000 buildings. The way to really get people on the conservative side of things ticked off about that, what if I just told you that Nancy Pelosi's husband was the real estate broker on those deals? Then you'd be upset. Then you could get people. But outside of that, if it's not part of the political theater, people just say, well, yeah, the debt's a problem, but our politicians tell us that they're going to have a conversation about it and they're going to do entitlement reform at some point. And yeah, it's unsustainable. But people just, you can't comprehend how this is going to affect the United States. The best thing I would suggest to people is go read about the collapse of the Soviet Union. They had a lot of years of real chaos, and they're not completely out of it. They had a real oligarchy grow up around it because their politicians in Soviet Russia were just as corrupt as our, well, is anybody as corrupt as our politicians? Well, I think so, probably. The Soviet Union, and so the favored political class was able to snatch up assets as they came onto the, air quotes here, free market when the Soviet Union collapsed. And so the oligarchs who got political favors from the old Soviet leadership ended up kind of running the place, becoming billionaires. So I don't know, if you're really well politically connected and you think someone's going to take care of you, I know a lot of people are Trump supporters. If Trump gets back in office, maybe you think that when the U.S. collapses, he's your buddy and he's going to hook you up. Maybe you want the collapse to come. But for the rest of us, this spending is serious stuff. Our politicians are drinking and driving with our money. And they are going to have a cataclysmic crash at some point. And we should all be holding them accountable to this stuff. Just because something has not happened yet to really, and it's happening right now. Your way of life is changing right now with this inflation. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. It's Thursday. This is supposed to be the Freedom and Prosperity Hour, but our representatives from Americans for Prosperity are actually out in the state, spanned across Mississippi, actually trying to facilitate freedom and prosperity in Mississippi. So they didn't have a representative to send up here to talk to me today. If you tuned in for AFP, stick around. I'll do my best to entertain you. They'll be back next week. Get involved with Americans for Prosperity. The federal government is lost. It's gone. It's over there. We had our chance to hold our people accountable. We whiffed. Mississippi, we're especially guilty of it. Ooh, gosh. I do not sit behind this. I don't like the idea of bailing out Illinois, and I look at California, what a financial basket case it is, but I'm honest enough to admit that Mississippi gets bailed out every year. We're a welfare child. In a red state with a supermajority of Republicans, we can't figure out how to get up off our backs. Really pathetic stuff. Federal government's lost. Get involved with groups like Americans for Prosperity. Let's fight to try to make Mississippi a free state. That would be nice. That'd be a nice change. I'm going to get into some other stuff. If you are interested in a way to take a little bit of a swipe at Thomas Dobbs, if you believe, as I do, that he's a tunnel vision, narrow-minded, pious, pompous, pretentious, hypochondriac, authoritarian, then I'm going to give you in a second, there's a little way to take a swipe at him. Maybe we can work on removing this man from our lives. Whew, wouldn't that be nice? But I'll finish on this spending stuff real quick. I wanted to mention one other thing. If you send me, I talk a lot here about the IRS and the tax code and you know, the fact that Republicans tell you it's a victory when they take 21% instead of 23%, and Republicans say, yay! You just love when the Republicans cut your tax. The federal government deserves none of your money. Zero. That's what you should be asking of your representatives, but we keep electing the vanilla establishment types, so there's not much of a chance of that. But if another person sends me an article about the fair tax or flat tax, I'm going to come to your home and I'm going to shake you awake. The goal is not to make taxes more fair, to send to a government where the Department of Defense owns 603,000 buildings. This is like Stockholm Syndrome, where I'm telling you I can set you free. I'm not talking me, but if in a kidnapped situation, I come to the door and tell you that, come on, you're free. Go out there and live your life. It's like the American people and even conservatives, those of you who send me fair tax and flat tax stuff, it's like you greet me at the door, I'm trying to set you free, and you go, no, we're okay, but could you get us better food? The idea of having a giant chunk of your income confiscated by the federal government every year is now your normal. Most people not even understanding that there was no tax before 1913, no federal income tax, and even it's till after World War II that it even started hitting the middle class. And then that's when the politicians looked out at the land and said, oh my God, they'll pay it. Do you know the favors we can dole out now that we know that the American people will just continue to just give us money straight out of their checks? Yeah, I met an average American. This is the politician talking here. I don't do voices well. Yeah, I went out to a barber shop and I heard them talking about the fact that what they'll do is they'll just look at what's withheld from their check and they'll just budget. They'll just budget on what's left. It's like they don't even notice. Yeah, really? Yeah, I'm serious. So quit sending me your fair tax, flat tax stuff. You're a hostage. Quit trying to make federal income taxes more fair and make politicians live on the $2 trillion, and I'm sure it's higher than that now, that they take in from other sources. Most people don't even know there are other sources. If you won't pay attention to the spending, at least let's try to not facilitate it by sacrificing our own futures and the futures of our progeny by propping it up. Holy cow. People. Speaking of lessons we just cannot learn, stories coming out now. I'm telling you, this is coming. It is coming. It is coming. It's like the sun coming up every morning. This is on Yahoo News. A tipping point. Kansas City hospitals are turning away patients due to COVID surge. Like other hospitals in the Kansas City region, the University of Kansas Health System is turning down transfer patients because its beds are full, setting up a potential crisis. its chief medical officer said Wednesday. That's as far as I got in this article, because I know what the rest of it is. I don't know why people aren't getting vaccinated. I'll get more debunking of that in just a second, but it's coming. Remember that the big impetus for lockdowns was they almost never even mentioned saving lives. They try to use that as a sales point for this vaccine, but as I reported last week, more people died from the vaccine than from COVID. That doesn't seem to hold a lot of water. But the idea of lockdowns and what Thomas Dobbs will be preaching very soon, maybe today, hospitals are filling up. We've got to slow down this thing. We're going to overwhelm our healthcare system. It is coming back again. And what's interesting is, you know, maybe instead of shutting down businesses and bankrupting people and putting kids into a suicidal state of mind by ripping their lives away from them, I don't know, add some hospital beds. I mean, again, I'm no super elite policy wonk. But it just seems to me like if you keep filling up your hospitals with COVID, throw a few beds somewhere. Why don't you increase your capability rather than taking everything away from us because you can't handle it? And we've reported here before, a lot of the overcrowding of hospitals has been going on for a couple of months right now, and it is because Americans got very sick during the year that they scared us away from the hospitals. Heart patients, cancer patients didn't seek treatment because of this one little tiny virus going around, killing 0.3% of the people who contract it, of the 10% of people who have contracted it. So these hospital numbers, it's not all about COVID. It's about the fact that Americans are sicker this year than they were last year by a large swath, and that we get sicker every single year because the same medical system that's so badly mismanaged their reaction to COVID, because they are, like Thomas Dobbs, tunnel-visioned, narrow-minded, pious, pompous, pretentious, hypochondriac authoritarians, they continue to make people sicker year after year after year after year. But I don't know, just... maybe some more beds. I'm just thinking off the cuff here. Don't pay any attention to me. I'm not a hospitalist or anything. There's an interesting story about vaccinations and these breakthrough cases in Massachusetts. They had 5,166 cases, breakthrough cases is what they're calling them, of fully vaccinated people. Now, what's interesting is that they had 80 deaths out of the 5,166 fully vaxxed cases. Now, that's odd because they assured us that the vaccine was 100%. They were very unequivocal about this. They said the vaccine was 95% effective against you getting COVID, but it was 100% effective in stopping hospitalizations and deaths. 100%. They didn't even say 99.9. They said 100. So it's interesting that 80 fully vaccinated people have died in Massachusetts. But here's the thing that's absolutely crazy. 80 people out of 5,166 fully vaccinated people died of COVID, which is a death rate of 1.55%. Why is that important, Mike? That's awfully small. See, you're exaggerating. Well, that's interesting because the death rate from COVID itself since last March has been 0.3%. Huh. So the death rate of fully vaccinated people who come down with COVID in Massachusetts, if their numbers are to be believed, the death rate of the vaccinated, if they get COVID again, is 5 times higher than the average unvaccinated person over the past 16 months. Hmm. That's odd. When I come back, we're going to talk about there's actually something out there that you can do if you would like to go after who I call the tunnel vision, narrow-minded, pious, pompous, pretentious, hypochondriac, authoritarian Thomas Dobbs. There's an effort. Maybe you can weigh in on it. This is an action item. Stay with me. I'll tell you next.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom, didn't brush your teeth before bed, They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
From 4 to 6 here at WYAB, when the great one comes in, Kim Wade. I believe he calls Thomas Dobbs Dubious Dobbs. I like that. I really do like that. And it's much more succinct than mine, but I've come up with tunnel vision, narrow-minded, pious, pompous, pretentious, hypochondriac, authoritarian. I'm not as pithy, I guess, as Kim Wade. If you have any other adjectives I should add, you can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. But anyway, a lot of us pretty fed up with Thomas Dobbs. And apparently it's not just us little people. Even some of our politicians, someone sent me yesterday that the Freedom Caucus, you can go to freedomcaucus.ms, freedomcaucus.ms. These are some of our more liberty-loving Republican, I think they're all Republicans. I'd love to see a Democrat on that list because a Democrat should like freedom too. They just have been convinced that it's not in their best interest. Anyway. Freedom Caucus has actually got a petition. You can go, and it's one of their top stories there. They say, when a bureaucrat is suddenly given notoriety and unlimited power over your life and personal decisions, or say, what happens when? Well, the answer is never anything good. We've seen it play out with Dr. Anthony Fauci, and now it appears to have replicated itself in Mississippi State Department of Health Director Dr. Thomas Dobbs. They go on to say, in the spirit of the Biden administration's proposal to go door-to-door tracking your personal health decisions and pressuring you into doing what they tell you to do, Dr. Dobbs has decided that if you question his medical superiority, you are nothing more than an, quote, anti-science Nazi or, quote, an excuse monkey. And apparently these are words from Thomas Dobbs. In a roundtable Zoom call last week, Dr. Dobbs wasted no time letting all of us know that, quote, if enough Mississippians can't make the right decision and get immunized, then we will have to do the draconian measure to keep the health system operational. Now, this is a quote here, and I haven't seen this or heard this, but it says, this is from the Freedom Caucus on their page there. It says, during the hour-long diatribe, we were told, quote, you want your freedom? Get vaccinated, and you'll get your freedom back. I don't care if you love the vaccine. You should not want somebody over you that tells you that they, as a state health director, for the love of God, not that a governor, a sheriff, there is not a person elected or appointed to office that should be able to tell you when and how you can have your freedoms. But Thomas Dobbs believes he should be able to set some conditions for you, and his thing is the jab. Anyway, the Freedom Caucus has got a petition you can sign. Go to freedomcaucus.ms. The actual link to this story is freedomcaucus.ms/MSDH Director Dobbs calls Mississippians Nazis and monkeys. Anyway, you can go to freedomcaucus.ms. and sign this petition to tell Tate Reeves to get rid of this tunnel vision, narrow-minded, pious, pompous, pretentious, hypochondriac, authoritarian Thomas Dobbs. It's the pretentiousness and the pompousness that I like least. That's all. The authoritarianism of Thomas Dobbs, I could kind of chuckle at. What I really hate is his moral superiority, where if he were to listen to this show, or to be honest with you, if he listened to WYAB at any point during the day except for the CBS news breaks, Oh, he would just look down his nose. We're just a bunch of rubes, a bunch of hicks out there in flora. We don't know the science like he knows it. I'd be very interested if somebody would ask him why in Massachusetts 1.55% of vaccinated people died when they got COVID when the death rate is only 0.3% for us mere mortals in the control group. Why is the death rate of the vaccinated, if they can track COVID, which they are in record numbers, well, records, I mean, it's a brand new thing, more in increasing numbers is probably a better way to put it. Why is their death rate five times higher than the unvaccinated? That'd be an interesting question for him. Won't be asked. I am seeing right now vaccinated people getting COVID the most. Now, I have got probably a very biased group to draw from. I've got people texting me, people emailing me, people telling me stories of people that they know who are vaccinated who are getting COVID. I have told you I had an event scheduled for this Saturday, but two of the hosts of that party have had to postpone because they're fully vaccinated and they have contracted COVID. I'm seeing it in my real life in real time. I'm getting these stories also from my friends, but that's a pretty biased pool to draw information from because people kind of know where I'm at. So they're kind of saying, hey, look, here's another one, that kind of thing. So I know some people are getting COVID for the first time, but the idea that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated is so demonstrably false at this point that it's laughable. Again, in Massachusetts, they've got 5,166 fully vaccinated cases right now. And this is just a statistic I ran across because somebody did the math, which I love, to notice that the death rate of the vaccinated in Massachusetts was 1.55%, where the death rate from COVID for everybody for the past year has only been 0.3%. It's five times as high. So if you have any stories about that, I've got a couple of people out there, some watchmen on the walls for me that are in the medical system that are going to start kind of paying attention to COVID cases and the vaccination status of people coming in. Had one report from a medical professional that said that there were 8 new cases in their practice of people tested positive for COVID. Take a guess how many of them were vaccinated. No, it's not 8. Don't do that. It was 7. 7 of the 8 were vaccinated. Now, that was not even solicited by anybody here at WYAB. It was kind of said in an offhand way. I spoke to a medical professional last night about at this election integrity thing. Ran into him at the very end. We got talking about this family, poor family down in Hattiesburg, struggling to get somebody to prescribe and administer ivermectin to this woman who's dying in front of our eyes. All of Mississippi standing by watching somebody die because Forest General Hospital will not give her ivermectin, which she was on and was doing great, and they pulled her off of it because it's not policy from the CDC. But I got talking to a guy, and I need to have these conversations. He doesn't want the vaccine. He's worried about his career. Should he actually resist this thing? Very level-headed guy. He actually believes, and there was another gentleman joining us in the conversation, that Thomas Dobbs does not have any evil intent. He's just a true believer in this stuff. Well, that I'll say is okay, you know. As I said, we've all been fooled by a lot of things, and Thomas Dobbs is a product of the American medical system, which is pharmaceutical company controlled. There are a lot of doctors out there that are great people. They go into their office every day. They think they're going to help people. I mean, they probably don't mind the big fat paychecks. I won't say that was not considered in their choice of career. But they probably want to help people, but they've just been so sheep-dipped in the pharmaceutical model that that's really all they know. So Thomas Dobbs, just as a true believer, my only problem with Thomas Dobbs is the pompousness, his pretentiousness. His dismissal of anybody who dares to question him. That's not just being a true believer in pharmaceuticals or in this experimental gene therapy. That's a total disregard for other human beings, an othering of us, that we're beneath him. Our intelligence is below him. That kind of pompousness and pretentiousness, I do not suffer well. You know, we're hearing these stories, CBS Newsbreak, and we get a lot of complaints about CBS Newsbreak, please don't hold that against WYAB. We can't find a source to just kind of give us some national news break, and it kind of breaks up the hour. I think people kind of want to hear, you know, if something interesting is going on, we want updates on that. As talk show hosts, I prepare my show pretty long before airtime, so if something comes up, we want a news break. But we are all at WYAB, up to the ownership of the station, all aggravated at CBS. It's just there aren't any good alternatives, really. But the CBS news break earlier, interviewing these health professionals, I mean, they're sitting in these empty vaccination sites. One guy was saying, yeah, we just sit here all night just hoping somebody will come in to get this shot. Look, you've already bumped against the people who want this thing. Would you just leave us the hell alone? We've made our decisions collectively as Americans. All we want is to be left alone. I mean, it is to the point now, it's like if you go out to dinner with somebody and they say, oh, this dessert is so great, taste this. And you say, you know, it does. It looks good, but I tell you, I'm full. I can't eat another bite. That's usually where it ends, right? That's a polite exchange. Somebody offering something, you politely refusing it. But what they're doing now is like, no, taste it. No, I really don't want it. Taste it. No, thank you. I appreciate the offer, but no, thank you. We're not leaving this table until you have eaten half of this dessert. I mean, you know, even if you think this vaccine is fantastic, enough is enough. We get it. We've been offered. We understand it's available. We understand it's, air quotes here in the studio, free, meaning our grandchildren are going to be paying for it down the road. We're all up to speed, but we're good. Just leave us the hell alone. And if the Massachusetts statistics, I don't know if there's a different genetic pool in New England, but I don't think there is. If the death rate for the vaccinated up in Massachusetts is 5 times higher than for the unvaccinated for people who catch COVID, I'm going to say a polite no thanks at first, and then we're going to start getting into some serious words. And that's the promise with Thomas Dobbs. He may be a true believer. He's been steeped in this world of thinking that the pharmaceutical industry, he believed, all they got to say to him is science, and then suddenly he believes he possesses all knowledge and there can be no further debate, although that's wildly unscientific. I don't mind the fact he's a true believer. I mind the fact he's so dismissive of the Mississippian who dares to question his judgment. And again, it's freedomcaucus.ms. You'll see the story there talking about Thomas Dobbs. You can click through and you will go to a petition to tell Tate Reeves to fire Thomas Dobbs immediately. One caveat, and I did reach out to the Freedom Caucus late last night when I saw this thing. They didn't get back to me. I was going to have somebody on the air. This could be just a fundraising thing because, like every single one of these, it drives me nuts. But last year of seeing all of these things, tell everybody you stand with Donald Trump. Dial 1-866, you know, and let Donald Trump know you stand with him. And I just think, what rubes are out there thinking that Donald Trump's sitting at his desk going, man, is Jimmy Johnson out there in Clinton, Mississippi? Is he with me? Do people actually think Trump's going to see your name and feel your support? No, these are all fundraising numbers. You understand that, right? They're going to get you to give them $5 a week, $500 a month. That's what these things are about. I don't know if this Freedom Caucus petition is the real deal, but it's the first thing I've seen where I can weigh in to get Thomas Dobbs fired, so I jumped at the chance. If the Freedom Caucus actually gets this thing that gets a bunch of numbers on it and actually gets Thomas Dobbs fired, then maybe I'll contribute because it does take you to a donation screen. But until I'm not donating a dime until I see them move against Thomas Dobbs. I like the idea of a Freedom Caucus. I see a lot of the guys from DeSoto County. For some strange reason, there's something in the water up there. DeSoto County is more liberty-minded than the vast majority of Mississippi. So I kind of tacitly want to support these guys, but I want to see some action out of them. Freedom Caucus hadn't done us a whole lot of good for the business owners that were shut down, the churches that were shut down, and Thomas Dobbs is still standing as our state health director. If they accomplish something, I may push that donate button myself. For the rest of us, go in there, weigh in. Let's see if we can get Tate Reeves to push Thomas Dobbs overboard. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show. You're just listening for the first time. This is a different bird. I'm just going to go ahead and warn you. I am not your traditional conservative talk show host. You're going to hear some stuff here you're not going to hear on Talking Point Radio anywhere. Rick called during the break and said instead of doing CBS News Break, we should just play the Barney theme, which I couldn't do that to people. You know, he started singing just a little bit of it to make sure I understood what he was talking about. And just that little nugget, the song's already stuck in my head. Thanks, Rick. It's like an earworm. That's how they get you. I love my children. We all love our children, but my children have really paid off in a lot of ways. You know, raising kids is hard. They've had my issues with them, but they're just well-behaved children. And they never got into Barney. That was one fantastic thing. They never got into Barney. They did, however, like Teletubbies. Have you seen this thing? Teletubbies is what happens when children's entertainers do acid. It is the most bizarre thing you've ever seen. Pooh! That's all I remember. One of the characters' names was Pooh. It's very bizarre. I do hold that against my children. That and my son loved Thomas the Tank Engine. Now, that was great for a nap. He was obsessed with this stuff to the point where, you know, right now we're trying to figure out what to do with my son's life. I'm not trying to direct him anywhere. I just want him to be happy and do something he enjoys and can be successful at. We're running through some different things. I admire the people who find their passion at early age. I would have thought my son was a train conductor by now, a train engineer, something. He was just obsessed with these trains. Thomas the Tank Engine. If you're having trouble sleeping tonight, pull up on YouTube, Thomas the Tank Engine, guaranteed. 5 minutes, you're in REM sleep. I have some stuff here. What do I do here? I've got some vaccine stuff. You know, part of the stuff on Thomas Dobbs is that apparently he has called those of us who are hesitant. You know, this is interesting, and I don't know if I brought this up on my health show or not. You should be hesitant for every single medical procedure and prescription that is advised to you. You should be hesitant. I'm not talking about resistant. But when a doctor prescribes you something, you should be hesitant. Your body is not craving more pharmaceuticals. Now, maybe it will work for you, but you should at least go, okay, well, let me see, what are the side effects? You know what I mean? I mean, there should be some reticence to just take a stranger's advice at every turn and put something into your body that you don't know what it is. But I've got an MIT researcher here, you know, so Thomas Dobbs is calling us anti-science Nazis. Isn't it interesting that somebody that wants to force you to show your papers to live your life, that wants to force you, that if he had his way, I think it's probably a secret dream when Thomas Dobbs is going to bed at night, he just imagines Mississippians with a knee on our neck and our sleeves rolled up. That guy is calling us Nazis. That's rich. That is rich. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Hey, this is Bill. How you doing?
Good, Bill. How are you?
Doing good. I just wanted to run something by you real quick.
All right.
I noticed that yesterday on the Department of Health's Facebook page, they had it where you had a comment section, but they've removed it today.
I have not visited that, but I think I heard Kim Wade talking about it last week, that they were not allowing comments on something. I'm not sure if it was Facebook or not, but that might have been on Thomas Dobbs' page, but now you're saying that the Department of Health won't let you comment on there either?
Right. I looked at it this morning, and they won't let you comment, so I strolled down and looked at yesterday, and they had the comment still for yesterday, but starting today, they blocked
Well, it's probably whack-a-mole, you know. We wore them out, because I'm sure there's somebody there that is deleting posts and messages, and they probably just said, I can't keep this up anymore. They're probably having to knock down so many negative posts about them.
Exactly. But I just want to tell you, thank you for all you do, and we enjoy your show, and keep up your good work, okay?
Man, I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Bill.
Thank you.
All right, bye. Yeah, I mean, you know, what do you say? I don't get enough hate on this show, to be honest with you. I've tried to launch for several weeks Fight Club Friday. I question our allegiance to the government of Israel. That's not anti-Semitic, by the way, but I don't understand why we fight wars for them or Saudi Arabia. I fight for the legalization of all drugs on the show. The war on drugs is a complete failure. I know I do a lot of things conservatives just cannot abide by. I can't get people to call up and fight with me. I kind of like the struggle or a debate. I'm not mad at anybody who disagrees with me. That's the difference between me and a lot of people. I do not spend any time on Twitter screaming at strangers. I think it's good for my mental health. It's why I'm such a cheery, happy guy every day. But that's what these people do. They cannot fade the heat. You know, and they know that with the Department of Health, they can go into the loving embrace of the mainstream media and both political parties to get nothing but praise and be lionized constantly for being such heroes. But when the little people start to get hip to their game and start weighing in ourselves, making a comment ourselves, it's like these school boards. Have you seen these school boards where, whether it's critical race theory or drag queens reading children's stories to four-year-old kindergartners, and these parents show up and they just start getting fired up, and the school board would go, oh, your time is up. They'll start counting it down. 1 minute. 30 seconds. It's like they're just waiting out the clock, waiting for that parent to shut up. And they've gotten away with it for a long time. I'm kind of hoping that maybe as bad as this vaccine issue is, as bad as the lockdowns are, as bad as all these things are, maybe it's finally got people out of their slumber. That would be nice too. Got another caller in line. Caller, are you with me? Hello, are you there? Yep. All right. I've got this MIT researcher. I should probably play her stuff. Her name is Stephanie Seneff. She has she's been on my show before. I got her on because she studied the GMO, the Roundup glyphosate issue, that I think is extremely important. It's destroying our immune systems and making us vulnerable to things like, I don't know if you've heard, COVID-19. I talked the other day, the fact, you know, and this was something I discussed with the doctor last night. We were talking to ivermectin and Thomas Dobbs and everything. I said, you know, give me a break. The United States death rate from COVID is 17 times higher than Africa. Doctors in the medical establishment don't get to be real pompous with me when we've got our death rate per capita. I'm not talking about just numbers. Per capita is 17 times higher than Africa. This, what we consider backward, savage nation that just doesn't have all the glittering buildings and technology that we have. But our death rate's 17 times higher. When you can explain that to me, Thomas Dobbs, without admitting to the failures of the U.S. medical system, then maybe I'll think you're onto something. All right, caller, are you there?
I am.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, I'm just calling about what you said about folks not calling in to argue with you. I agree 100% that the war on drugs has failed and we should figure out a way to legalize it, and that Israel has the greatest air force in the world. They can defend themselves quite easily.
Absolutely.
And the last thing I'll say is fire Dobbs now.
Yes, amen. Everybody go to freedomcaucus.ms. You can weigh in and fill out this petition. As I said, it may just be a fundraising effort, but it's all we got right now as far as I can tell. And Tate Reeves needs to be told in no uncertain terms, this guy's got to go, because we are looking at another lockdown, another round of restrictions, more masks, possible vaccine mandates as soon as the FDA authorizes this stuff with full approval, and it's coming. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, let's get after him.
No doubt. Love the show. Thanks.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it. You know, and here's the thing, too. If Thomas Dobbs is a true believer, maybe he's got the most pure heart. It does not explain the arrogance, the pompous nature, his dismissal of Mississippians. This is why I can't give him a pass. I give people passes a lot here. people I disagree with. As human beings, they may be good people. So if Thomas Dobbs, maybe he thinks he's doing the right thing and that maybe bullying us is for our own good. I mean, I guess he thinks he's our daddy and that we're all just too dumb. But that's where Tate Reeves has failed. Tate Reeves should be able to recognize that this man is too much of a Kool-Aid drinker when it comes to the vaccine and to lockdowns and to masks and to social history, just hypochondria. Tate Reeves is the one who implements these policies, and he's doing it based on Thomas Dobbs. So while it's Thomas Dobbs driving this push, it is actually Tate Reeves at the controls. And Tate Reeves needs to look at Thomas Dobbs and say, okay, I've got your opinion. Now let's hear from some other people. And then he should be making these decisions. But he didn't. He basically just turned over the control of our state to Thomas Dobbs and the rest of the hysterics in the medical establishment. But that's not just Thomas Dobbs. We're seeing right now with Forest General what they're doing. No regard for their patient whatsoever. Just regard for pharmaceutical industry or for whatever the nefarious motive is. He may have a serial killer running that place. We don't know. But Tate Reeves is the one who's supposed to pull that back. He is the one that's supposed to be the buffer between a hypochondriac in office, in a bureaucratic position, and us people. And it'll be very interesting to see. I know Tate Reeves has no appetite for more lockdowns or shutdowns or masks. And maybe Tate Reeves is really believing everything that comes out of Thomas Dobbs' mouth. I don't know who else has Tate Reeves' ears. But he better resist this. And if he doesn't, I'm going to be very curious to see, are the business owners of Mississippi not going to go along with this again? Are the pastors, are the churches not going to close their doors again? You know, that's the independence we need to see here. We need to make these people irrelevant because we just kind of, the best thing we could do is just laugh at them. The problem is they get law enforcement involved and courts and fines and judges and all the rest of that stuff. Not really a laughing matter, but we should be because Mississippians are in charge of Mississippi and Americans are in charge of America. When they come up with these harebrained schemes for shutting stuff down or forcing us to have three people at a funeral or any of this ridiculousness, we should just laugh at them. Like they're nothing. Because that's what they are. They're nothing. It's a few thousand bureaucrats running the lives of 330 million people. They're nothing. We've made them into something. We've been convinced that they're something special, but they're not. They're just a small handful of people. And I'm happy to hear their point of view on something, but that's it. That's where their influence stops. I'll make my own decisions then, and we should just be laughing at these people, but if they come back at us, and I'm telling you, I'm reading you this story from Kansas or from Missouri, whatever, whichever one it was, saying these hospitals are filling. When you start to hear, and I would imagine it will happen the next few days if it hadn't already happened. I don't watch the news very much anymore. When they start saying that hospital beds are getting filled up, that's when it starts to happen. That's when these rules start to come in. So we got to get our minds right before it happens. Not try to we were slow to react last year, weren't we? It really took us probably about 6 to 8 months to find our footing and start demanding some level of freedom and realizing how far overboard they've gone. Well, we've already done that once. We don't have another 6 to 8 months of lead time to give these people. We need to make up our minds now that we're not going along with this program. We'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, I've only got a couple minutes left for today. The show kind of flew by. I'm not going to get to Dr. Stephanie Seneff, but I'm going to play her maybe tomorrow. She's doing research on this. Just like the thing I like about Stephanie Seneff is she's an MIT scientific researcher. And when she was tasked with looking at glyphosate, she didn't have a dog in the hunt. She wasn't anti-Roundup, anti-GMOs. She is just a scientist in a lab coat at MIT, my understanding is, fairly prestigious university. And they got her to start looking at things, and she gives her conclusions pretty matter-of-factly. Well, now she's looking at the COVID vaccines with a team of other scientists, and she's just very matter-of-fact about it. She's not, you know, and the thing is that is always interesting to me, you know, whether it's Thomas Dobbs calling any doctor that comes out or, I mean, and it's everybody. It's there are doctors, there are immunologists, there are vaccinologists, there are epidemiologists all coming out and saying this vaccine program is a disaster. It's not just rubes out here in Florida, Mississippi, although we are the only media outlet, I think, in central Mississippi raising some alarms about this thing, raising big alarms, loud alarms. I would imagine the rest of the WGOP radio stations are probably running ads for the Mississippi Department of Health that they're getting paid for, and they know that they can't talk out against this thing because they'll lose some ad revenue. That's not the WYAB model. We're very capitalistic, and we don't carry water. I'm never given a talking point before I come on air. I'm given no guidance. Some of you may have realized that by now. There may be times the owner of this station just kind of cringes when I say something. It's freedom of speech here at WYAB. I mean, I imagine I could go too far. I feel like I've pushed the envelope. I've never gotten real back. Anyway, my point being, you know, there are good people out there talking out against what's going on right now. It's pretty tough to call them anti-science Nazis. And it's really amazing to me that the term Nazi is being thrown at the people who do not want to force a medication on people. Caller during the break mentioned the Nuremberg trials is what should be awaiting a lot of this medical system when this thing is all said and done. I have no faith that that will happen. What I can only hope is what I've been working at for 4.5 years on my health show. It's just to shake your faith in the medical establishment because they are not helping your health. There's lots of good doctors out there. If you break your body, go see them. But if you want to stay healthy, they've not been a service to us. And it's because of their arrogance, their refusal to look at alternative things, their refusal to accept nutrition's role in your health. And so hopefully, if nothing else, we are shaking the foundations of just about every institution. It's about time. Gotta go. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.